We're going to be looking at 1 Peter chapter 3, 1 through 6. This is going to be a message. It's really for all, but it will feel like it's directed toward the ladies. And it is in some ways. But next week, we'll get the guys. So stay tuned. Let me read God's word. It says this: in the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives, as they observe your chaste and respectful behavior. Your adornment must not be merely external, braiding the hair and wearing gold jewelry or putting on dresses, but let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. For in this way, in former times, the holy women also, who hoped in God, used to adorn themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, just as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, and you have become her children if you do what is right without being frightened by any fear. Let's pray. Father, many in this modern age will hate the teaching of the scriptures. Many will recoil at this idea of submission because they are rebels before God. Lord, let us not be like them. Help us to trust you and how you've designed your world. Have you designed the family, the civil sphere, and all the spheres, Lord? You've designed all these things. You've put order, and Satan always wants to bring things to disorder. From the beginning, he's been a liar and a deceiver, and we want to be those that can honor you by living and believing that you are sovereign over these things. Help us, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. A household meal, the wives' ball gown. So, again, we've been saying that 1 Peter has this idea of this meal that we're supposed to be having, right? We said that it's this nice meal. We've been invited. We've been invited by God before the foundations of the world, invited, given an invitation to come to this meal. And so we've been progressing through this. And so we've talked about the appetizer of salvation. We've talked about how we have been brought into this salvation. And we've been nibbling at salvation, right? And we know that there is submission here. We know that there is suffering here. And so we've been learning these things. And so this is the idea of the wife's ball gown. And so I have a little bit of knowledge of not ball gowns, but wedding dresses, since we've been having so many weddings, right? Wedding dresses can be very emotional. I don't know if you know this. There's something with a lady. There's a whole day. All the ladies kind of go, and they look at dresses. And it's a whole big ordeal. The wedding dress, right? So we've had a couple daughters get married recently, and they're expensive, and again, full of emotion. And at the end of the day, when the day is over, the wedding dress is put into a box. All right? We have a box that's supposed to have a wedding dress in there. I don't even know if it's in there, because they seal it. There's no picture. Who knows what's in there? And they give it to you. We paid a lot of money to have this thing like sealed up in this box. And we've been dragging around this box for almost 30 years now. Right? And so it's so special. It's so beautiful. But it's perishable. It's dying. It's going to go away. Now, hopefully we can use it in the future, but probably not. Probably not. Because nobody wants the 90s type style, poofy shoulder dress, right? And so, in the same way, we are the wives have been call to put on something. It's not a wedding dress. It's not really a ball gown. But wives have been called to put on some things. And what they've been called to put on is far better, far more beautiful, far more emotional, far more impactful than a wedding dress. This is something that is truly beautiful. They've been called to adorn themselves with submission and modesty. And it's beautiful. Now the world will scoff, the world will laugh and say, this is not beautiful, but God says it's beautiful. And what God says beautiful is beautiful. We said that God is the one that defines beauty, not the beholder. No, the Creator is the one that defines beauty. And so God is saying that there is something that the wife needs to put on that is beautiful. And again, it's submission and modesty. So we're going to discover two adornments to be worn by holy wives, two adornments to put on. And the purpose is that we would live out God's will by doing good. This is a message for the women, but it is a message for the men. The men need to know this. We need to understand this. And so us, the men understanding this, truly understanding this, will help the wife honor God by putting on submission and modesty. And the wife putting this on is going to help the man be the man that God wants him to be, lead in a way that is godly, lead in a way not like the world, but like Christ led the church and leads the church. So this is a beautiful picture of Christ in the church. And this is kind of doing the wedding. We went through Ephesians 5. That's why I had Scott read it. Because basically the whole wedding service that we did last week was out of Ephesians 5. And I will be reading a portion through in this sermon of that wedding, which came out really good. You know, the people, I think, seen it as something that was honoring to God. So let's review a little bit. Again, we said this is a three-course meal, a family meal of suffering. And we said that the key verse in 1 Peter is chapter 4, verse 19. Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good. And this message is really for the women to entrust their souls to a faithful Creator. Will you trust God that He can use this man in your life? Will you trust Him? It's not easy, but will you trust God? Do you want to know God's will for your life? His will is that we learn to submit. Not only women, all of us. We learn to submit. To submit to God, not only in government, but in church, in the family sphere. And that's what we're learning here. So again, in this passage, we're going to discover two adornments to be worn by holy wives. Let's look at the first one. We'll spend a big chunk of time with this first point. Holy wives are required to put on submission. Look at verse 1. In the same way, you wives be submissive to your husbands, your own husbands. Oh my goodness. I mean, doesn't the apostle know? This is so, what's the word? What's all the buzzwords we could use, right? This is so
triggering.
Thank you, Scott. I mean, doesn't the apostle know that this is like so evil to say this? So look at this in the same way. We're going to break this down. In the same way. So again, it's kind of going back to what he just previously said. And so looking back, it's kind of like a review. What we see in chapter 2, verse 13, we've already talked about this, is that you're called to submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human institution. So Peter is talking to everyone and says, you must submit yourselves to every human institution. So again, this is a line of submission that he's going through. This means that there are, we talked about this as far as the civil sphere, and this is my caveat through the whole thing that you want to remind yourself, in the civil sphere, we found that that means that there's checks and balances required. We said there is the place where you resist tyrants, and then you're called to resist tyranny. Like, it's if you don't resist tyranny, it's actually sin. Like, you need to stand up for justice. You need to stand up for the widow. You need to stand up for the weak, right? And so we see this. In this fallen world, no submission can be considered absolute. Understand this. No, in this fallen world, no submission can be considered absolute. Everyone to whom submission is owed must also be in submission. So you can see this balance here. There is need, and there needs to be a network of authorities that mitigate potential abuse. So this has the idea of the spheres, sphere sovereignty. We said the church has authority, government has authority, family has authority, and they help each other in keeping everybody in check, right? Kind of like the branches of government are supposed to do that, even though they don't anymore, right? And so this is what God has set in order. So keep this in mind as we're going through this. If you start to get triggered, remember, God has established something. And there's only two choices here. As we go through, there's only two choices. What God has established, what he is doing, or what Satan is doing. That's it. You're going to be in submission to one or the other. You're either going to be submitting to God or you're going to be submitting to Satan. That's it. There's only two choices. There is no third area where you're a free bird flying around and you feel happy and you don't have to submit to anybody. There's no neutrality. There's no neutral space. You will submit to God or you will submit to Satan. Satan is going to try to trick you. Satan is going to try to deceive you. He's going to say this is freedom. But no, it's not freedom. You'll be submitting to him and the way he has established things. All right? So keep that in mind as we go through this. So we saw in chapter 2, verse 13, again, we're looking back. Peter says in the same way, and then he brings up the governing, how to focus and submit in the govern or the civil sphere. And then in chapter 2, verse 15, he says, for such is the will of God. It is the will of God, meaning this is God's purpose for your life, that you learn to submit in all these spheres. It is the will of God. But do you really want the will of God? Everybody says they want the will of God. What's the will of God for my life? What is the will of God? The will of God is that you submit. Doesn't sound too great, does it? No, I want the will of God where I'm really wealthy. I want the will of God where I meet the perfect guy that does what I'd say or whatever it is. I want my will, really. God, I want you to say that my will is your will. Can you see how that works? Many people really don't want the will of God done in their lives. They want their will done. So we have to think of these things. We have to know our human nature, right? So let's look at this quote from Edwin Bloom. He says this, "The principle of Christian subjection to God's will relates to every class and every situation." I'll read it again. "The principle of Christian subjection to God's will," so we're being subject to God's will, "relates to every class and every situation." Say, all right, I want to follow God. I'll go on a mountain. I'll read the scriptures. I'll follow God the way I want to, right? No, you actually have to submit to the church. You actually have to come under teaching at the church. Not only that, you have to submit to the government. Kids, you have to submit to your parents. Men are submitting to maybe they're the head of the home, but they're still submitting to the government. They're still submitting to the church. Everyone is in submission here, right? This is how God has ordered our world. And so we're coming into this. We're starting to understand this. Again, this idea of like autonomy and freedom and that you could be somehow out of that, is a lie. It is a lie from the devil. And you need to recognize this. We studied submission 2 in verse, we're still in review, still looking back. We studied submission in the workplace also last time we spoke. Chapter 2, verse 18, it says this, remember this? Servants, or what's another word for servants? You guys remember that word? Doulos in the Greek? What was it?
Slaves.
Sorry, guys. I know, triggered. We're getting triggered. Slaves or servants, be submissive to your masters in all respect. We saw that last time. Next week, we're going to look at the guys. We're going to see that the men need to be submitting to the Lord's will also. Submission is easy to accept. For some reason, it's easy to accept submission in our modern day world, not only in our world, but in the churches. Evangelical churches are okay submitting to the government. Oh, we need to shut down the church because there's a scary disease. All right, we'll shut down the church. You just tell us when to open up again. This is why this church started. This is why Gabe's church started. We almost started like exactly the same time. It was he started in Easter. We were in Palm Sunday meeting at some crazy place. But yeah, some park in Clayton, thinking I was going to get arrested for preaching. It's crazy. The church and the world, oh yeah, you want us to poke ourselves with something that's been not tested really well? We'll take it. How many times? Give me more. Something with the government, we're like, okay. But when it comes to a family structure, when it comes to submitting to a husband, this is outrageous. The husband's not asking you to jab yourself with chemicals, hopefully. Why is this? I mean, have you thought about this? Why is it so outrageous that the man be the head of the home? Why is it so outrageous that women, wives in particular, that they would subject themselves to their husbands? Why is this so outrageous? Why? Because the church has been taught, has been discipled by the world. We've been taught by the world. Through movies, through everything you can think of, we have been discipled by the world, right? These stupid men, these stupid husbands, that, there's always a bumbling idiot husband that can't do anything. And the wife has to come in and save the day. How many movies, right? It's like there's hardly any heroes that are men these days, And if there is, there's all this flack, and people are like, oh, this is evil. This is the white guy coming down upon us, right? And so we see that this culture is fighting against us. Again, the two choices are this: God's submission, submitting to God, or submitting to Satan. There is no third category. So you got to say, how am I to think about these things? All right. The world is, again, the world's not angry about the abuses of government. The world's not angry about the abuses of the workplace. Of course, you can make our iPhones. Yeah, slave labor in China, that's fine. Just keep making our iPhones. Keep going. Whatever. We need our iPhones, right? But to think about, to understand these things, we have to understand what's going on behind the scenes. And I call this Machiavelli's children. So this is Machiavelli. He was a guy that had some ideas about society. This is what he taught. Think about this. Think carefully about this. He taught the view that politics is amoral. All right? It's amoral. And that any means, however unscrupulous, you could use politics to justify your political achievements. He thinks this: whoever controls the power controls reality. Black Lives Matter. Who are the people that started this? The Marxist. They said, we are trained Marxists. I mean, it was in an interview. We are trained Marxists. This is what we do. It is a different worldview. So when you have people that say, whoever has the power, just think of this. Whoever has the power They make reality. They are God. So whatever you have to do to get the power doesn't matter. You could lie, you can steal, you can kill. Whatever you have to do, you can get that power. Now, not everybody believes in this. The leaders understand this. And what do they tell the people? They say, hey, men, they're over you and they hate you and they're using you. The white people, they hate the black people. So they're always stirring up people saying, hey, you need to hate this. You need to try to get out from these shackles, these chains. They're trying to oppress you. But come with us, listen to us, and then we will help you. So who's in control here? The leaders of these movements, they just want followers. They want power. So we have to think about this. There's like satanic things going on. The scripture calls them strongholds. This is what Satan does. Again, we talk about Satan's work in our lives. And Kevin and I were talking about this. Satan, you know, sometimes we think he's whispering in our ear all the time. I find that it's most of the time our own flesh. We are enticed because of our flesh. Satan sets up systems of enticement. And so that's what he does. He sets up systems. And what we see are systems all around us in this world that are deceiving us, trying to follow Satan's way of doing things. You follow the Marxists, you're following Satan, right? You follow the people that say, hey, come with us, we're going to get all the power. You're following somebody. You're still submitting to somebody. But what do? They say, all your sexual desires, we don't care about. You can marry who you want. You can do whatever you want with anybody you want. Just follow us. See? It's like candy. He's throwing candy like at a parade. Follow us. You can do whatever you want. You'll be like God. You'll be like God. So this is a deception from the garden. This is the same old lie we see over and over again. So look at this section, second one here. It says, you wives, be submissive. You wives, be submissive. Peter has been teaching God's will equals submission and does not hesitate when it comes to women. He doesn't hesitate. He doesn't stutter. He doesn't try to give a bunch of qualifications. He says, ladies, wives, be submissive to your husband. This is the apostle. Peter says this. We read in Ephesians, Paul taught this. Peter assumes, listen to this, he assumes that wives have a duty to God. He doesn't treat them like victims. Women, you have a duty to God. To God. Isn't this amazing? You have a mission that has been given you by God to fulfill. This is something that is amazing. He's not putting these ladies down. He's not saying you have to do this. He's saying, yes, you do it, but this is a mission for God. This is a beautiful thing in the sight of God. And so we need to see this as, wow, I get to submit. I get to do this. This is amazing. And you're going to be over me, and you're going to see this as beautiful. This is great. We said that submission means to line up under. It has the idea of a chain of command. So a chain of command. We want to line up under. And who's at the top of the chain of the command? God. Not the government. Not even your husband. Children. Not even your family. It all flows to God. He is the one that is over all of this. Is God sovereign?
Yes. Yes.
All right. Then he's sovereign. Now, again, there's a lot of things in there where we have, we brought up that Paul had that card. You know, he had that Roman card. So we can defend ourselves. We can stand up for ourselves. But an attitude of saying, you know what? I trust God. I trust God. Do you trust God that he is sovereign over these things? If not, you'll find a chain of command on this side that leads right to Satan. Or maybe I should point down, right to Satan. It's the inverse chain of command here. So, and then lastly, in this section here, it says, to your own husbands. Ephesians 5:22 says this, "Wives, be subject to your husbands as to the Lord." Colossians 3:18 says, "Wives, be subject to your husbands as fitting in the Lord." Ladies, isn't it nice that you only have to submit to one guy? One! So choose carefully. One guy. One guy. This has affected me too. I had to give my daughter away to a guy. Right? She leaves the head. I'm the head of the family. Leaves my head, my position, and comes under another head. I have to trust God too. Right? I don't get to just punch this guy when he does something stupid. So I had to trust not him as much as God. Hopefully did everything we could to see, knows that she loves him, but I had to give my daughter away. That's not easy for me. It's not easy. It's not easy to submit to God's plan. So now that the daughters, both daughters, are under their husbands, what's my job? Well, at the wedding, everyone said they would help uphold a holy, sacred vow that they're submitting to each other. She's submitting to him, of course. He is the head, but they're submitting to God in this union, right? And so when you go to a wedding and they say, hey, will you help them? Will you keep them accountable? And you say you will, you're coming into a covenant situation. So be careful. And so we want to be helping them. We want to be encouraging them. And so when she's, maybe she's being rebellious or she's not letting him lead, we're going to say something, especially as the parents. We're going to say, hey, this is what God says. Let him lead. Trust the Lord. All right? So none of this is easy, but it is beautiful. It is beautiful. You only have to submit to one guy. One guy. It is a covenant. This is what I read during the wedding. The Bible calls it a mystery, showing the union between Christ and his church, the work of Jesus Christ to redeem his people from death and sin. The church is metaphorically and biblically his bride. It is his wife. Christ died for her and sacrificed himself for her. He now leads and protects and provides for his church. And the church submits to Christ in all things, for Christ is her head. You're submitting to your husband is imaging the church submitting to Christ. You are showing the world the gospel. You are showing the world the gospel has power in your marriage. This is a beautiful picture of Christ in the church. Ladies, your imperfect husband is your head. You made a covenant. This word covenant describes a contract made not only with man, but with God. Trust God that he will protect and provide for you. Also, if you refuse his headship, you will come under the headship of another. You're going to have a head. You're always going to have a head. I think of this crazy trans movement. We have, women are liberated, and then you have feminism type stuff. And then what happens? Yeah, we believe in trans stuff. And now the feminist is like, maybe we don't believe in it, but we have to keep going with this. And now you have men dressed up like women, beating women in their own sports. And no one can say a word. They've been caught in their own trap, their sinful way. Why? Because they are in the chain of command down to Satan. They can't think because they know if they reject this, then they have to come to what God has established. And then they can't have all their freedoms that they think that they have. They can't give up their sexual sin. They can't give up the autonomy. So they have to go down, down, until we see, we see it. We see what's happening. If you don't submit to what God has established, you will submit to Satan. He'll make a mockery of your life. Everybody, People, they're going to be laughing at us in a few years. Mm-hmm. Hopefully through revival, hopefully through, I mean, if God revives us, we're going to be looking at this time and saying, what was going on? Mm-hmm. And then your children and your grandchildren will say, hey, what were you guys doing back then when you guys were letting this happen? And what were you saying? Are you saying anything? Are you doing anything about it? Are you preaching against this? Are you saying this is foolishness? Not just laughing and saying it's stupid, but having a biblical argument saying this is great sin before God. With abortion, that is the culmination of all this, this is great sin before God. Are you standing on Christ's side? Are you trying to toe the line saying, I'm going to be the referee. There's no third area. You can't sit on the bench. You got to be in the fight. So this is what we're seeing. This is the ramifications of rebelling against God. And so we've seen that submission is the wives' assumed duty. Now we're going to look at, and this will speed up now, submission is the wives' superpower. Isn't that awesome? You have a superpower? Look at the middle of verse 1. So that even if they are disobedient, talking about the husband, and this idea of disobedient to the word meaning that they are not Christian. They're disobedient to the word. So if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of wives as they observe your chaste and respectful behavior. There is true power and freedom in trusting God and how He has designed the family sphere. True power and freedom. The world's going to say, man, this looks like oppression. She's got to submit to him. I mean, why doesn't Peter, why doesn't Paul say, leave this marriage? So remember the context, right? Remember the context. Peter is speaking to these churches. These are Roman-type churches, very pagan. Well, they're in Roman areas, very pagan areas. The church people have come to Christ. We said that most of the people in the church were probably slaves. Probably 50 to 75%. Then you have women that have come to Christ, but their husbands haven't come to Christ yet, right? So you have women that come to Christ. What should I do? I mean, he's not a Christian. Should I leave? No. Paul says no. Don't leave, all right? And the world says, oh, just leave. Just go. Just divorce him. I mean, you can't put up with this. You're a different person now, right? It's not the teaching of the Bible. No, the woman should stay in this relationship. So think of this. If God can use a submissive wife without a word to save a lost husband, just think of that. This meant that your behavior would actually be used to save a soul. If he can do that, he can use a submissive wife to sanctify a sinful Christian husband. Right? I mean, if he can use the wife to save a soul of a man by being submissive and humble and respectful, he can surely use that same submissive spirit to help sanctify a man that's struggling. This is powerful. This is a superpower. This is amazing. It's given to these women. You have this ability that God is granting you, this beautiful ability that all the pagan women do not have. It's a special ability, I think, for Christians. Of course, they could be submissive in other societies, but to be submissive unto God and say, Lord, I'm going to trust you, and this is a hard situation, and then trust him to hopefully bring this guy to Christ and to honor the vow, honor the covenant. Just amazing to think about. There's something so powerful, so beautiful when a wife trusts God. By her godly behavior, the world takes notice. Her husband, her children, her friends, and most importantly, her God. Verse 4 says, this is precious, precious in the sight of God. That a woman would do this. The woman would trust not her husband,
but trust her God. It's so precious. It's a beautiful picture, a beautiful picture of what God is doing. So we see that wives are required to put on submission. It's a beautiful garment that you're putting on. But not only that, holy wives are required to put on modesty. You need to put this on. This is beautiful. Let's look at this perishable beauty, verse 3. Your adornment must not be external. Braiding of the hair and wearing gold jewelry or putting on dresses. Peter is describing perishable beauty. This beauty will fade and is an easy counterfeit, right? Jewelry, I mean, you can put on fake jewelry, right? There's fake jewelry. You can put that on. Looks good. But just think of this. All this stuff is fading. Just like that wedding dress that's in the box, it's fading. It's outdated. Just think of it today. Anybody can look beautiful. There's filters, right, on your phone, right? This is called false advertisement. This is not right. Anybody can look beautiful. There's makeup, tons of things. Anybody can look beautiful. Men dressed up as women can look beautiful, look like women. It's awful. It's not beautiful, but that's why it's perishable. It's fake. It's wrong. Not saying that ladies can't dress up. Not saying that you can't, keep yourself up. But Peter is making the case that, hey, it's going to fade. It's going to fade. Don't be focused on outward things. Focus on inward things, right? The world will never be able to do what you can. Even in your old age, ladies, it's going to come. You're going to get older. Your beauty will fade. It's biblical. It will fade. The external beauty will fade. But what we're saying put on, what Peter's saying put on, this submission and modesty, it will never fade. It will never fade. And it's beautiful in God's sight. Again, Christian women can put on something beautiful. Look at verse 4. But let it be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. Ladies, your true beauty is not on the outside, it's on the inside, from a heart that looks gentle. How many men have fallen for beautiful, beautiful women? They look great on the outside. And then, over time, they wished they had an ugly woman that was just respectful and loved them and honored them. My friends, something beautiful with a woman, and men can be attracted for a time, but maturity, Christian men are looking for things that are inside, in the heart of a woman. And so precious beauty. This idea of gentle means a humble and meek attitude expressed with patience and submissiveness. Jesus, the idea of meekness is not weakness. Jesus was said to be humble and meek. We talked about this before. Meekness has the idea of power under control. Women are powerful. We know that. All the husbands know that. Women have great power, but meekness has the idea of a horse's bit in their mouth. And so a horse that can run fast, that can throw you off, is meek, that he's being submissive to the rider. He's being submissive to what his training is. And so meekness has the idea of power under control. And that's what the women should, they have great power, but they need to submit themselves. Keep it under control. And then he says a quiet spirit. This has the idea of still or tranquilness. So being still, tranquil. Picture a lady trusting her God, relying on God. Ladies, are you trusting God in how he has designed you and the family and how it pleases God? Again, when God sees a woman living out true beauty, he is pleased. And some ladies might say, hey, I don't think I'm doing the best job here. But do you desire? Are you fighting your flesh? Are you fighting the world and what the world is trying to teach you? Are you coming under the scriptures and saying, God, what are you teaching? I'm trying to submit. I'm trying to obey. And so be encouraged that you know the right way and you keep trying. You keep confessing your sin and you keep learning what it means to be submissive. So we saw a perishable beauty, a precious beauty, and then finally this personified beauty. Look at verse 5. For in this way, in former times, the holy women also who hoped in God used to adorn themselves. What are they adorning themselves with? Being submissive to their own husbands. Just as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, and you have become her children if you do what is right without being frightened by any fear. So Peter is using the example. This is funny because he says former times. Hey, back in the old times, back in the old days, when we think of the Bible, we think it's all the old days, it's all then. Peter is saying, hey, again, he's talking to these churches that are in very pagan areas that know nothing of Judaism or very little of, nothing of serving the true and living God. And he's saying, hey, back in the old days. And he goes to the father of the faith, right? And so he's going back. Remember, when we think back, we think that everything was perfect, that everything, when we think back to even the 50s, we're like, everything was good, everything was perfect. Guys, sin was rampant. Rebellion was rampant. Again, women were mistreated, yes, but women were rebellious at the same time, right? They weren't doing this out of a pure heart. They weren't doing this out of devotion to God. They might have been doing this for survival, but they weren't pleased with this. If they could have rebelled, if they could have fought their way out, they would have, right? And Peter goes back and says, look further back. The father of the faith, this is the example. This is where Peter's going back. Former times. This is showing that rebellion and discontent were the norms in these cities. Again, the context, think of this. The context is slaves and newly converted women. That's the context we're in. And Peter doesn't take away their work, doesn't take away their responsibility. He gives it to them. They get to be submissive. They get to be submissive. Again, all of us have to be submissive. All of us have to be submissive unto God. And then finally, look at this. It says this idea of fear. Do what is right without being frightened by any fear. Any fear. What are they fearful of? Again, we talked about Paul pulling out his Roman card when it's appropriate, right? Pull out that Roman card. And we see, too, that the rebellious people, they want to pull out the what? Victim card. And you could do that today. This country has been so blessed through the Western views of Christianity, abolishing what? Slavery, doing amazing things for women. And then the world, Satan, wants to always turn these things around and use them for his own devices. So what the Christian established, Satan wants to manipulate. What the Christian has done through society, Satan always wants to change it. So instead of pulling out the Roman card, a biblical card, a card where you're looking at the scriptures and saying what is right and good, it's easy to pull out the victim card and say, hey, I can just divorce my husband. He has to like give me half of his income. And I get to take all the kids, and he's got to pay for all the kids. It's very easy. It's easy to solve the problem. I can just leave. I have the victim card. All of society is built for the woman. All of society now is built, hey, if you say you're a victim, if you even say anything happened to you, we're going to believe you. This is dangerous. This is so dangerous. Because what Satan is doing, he's giving you both of these lines here, and say, or he's saying, this is God's way, but this is the real easy way over here. The easy way, pulling out the victim card and going and just finding another husband. That's the easy thing. But this is a way that is wrong. This is a way that is evil. See, the fear, he's talking about fear here. It's easy to be manipulated when you're living in fear, when you think that you have no hope, when you think that I'm stuck in a situation. No, my friends, he wants you not to live in fear, to have no fear. Why? Because he is your God. He has given you this mandate, this will. He is doing these things. Don't live in fear. Live in faith. Don't live in fear. Live in faith that God is going to protect you. He's going to provide for you. Trust in God. You can submit to God, his plan, knowing his will is good. Think of it this way. Idols are always brought about when we are talking about provision, protection, or salvation. Idols are always brought about, listen to this, provision. If we're like, hey, how are we going to make it? What am I going to do? What am I going to do for money? Protection, how am I going to be protected? Who's going to protect me? Who's going to stand with me? And salvation. And so we want to make idols that provide for us. We want to trust in things that will give us seemingly provision and protection and salvation. But only God can give these things. God gives these things. So the woman needs not to be fearful, but trusting in her God. Ladies, are you trusting in your God? Are you understanding what the wife's role is? Are you understanding what marriage is about? So I hope that this has been helpful. Again, if there's any questions, you guys can always talk to me. We can go through these things. There's so much that I could not cover. But we can trust God that he has a great plan. So, holy wives are required to put on submission. Will you put on submission? This is something that is better than a dress, better than something that is perishable. This will not perish. This is beautiful in the sight of God. Will you learn to be submissive? And holy wives are required to put on modesty. Again, not these things, this adornment of gold, not these things that are external, but the internal things, these things that will not fade. These are not counterfeits. These are beautiful things. And it's precious. It's precious in God's sight. God sees it as precious. He's going to take care of you. He's going to help you. He's going to be a husband to you. He's going to teach your husband. Will you submit to his plan? And then we see it personified with the women of old, Sarah obeying Abraham, calling him Lord. And it says this, and you are her children, are her children. This idea of children has the idea that you're following this matriarch, this lady, and you look like her. You are her child in because you're acting like her. Are you acting like Sarah, where she was respecting Abraham and honoring him and loving him and giving a beautiful way about trusting her God through this man? And so what we've seen is that we should learn how to live out God's will. It's the same purpose in all these messages. We all have to learn to live out God's will by doing good. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for this message. Lord, this is your word. This is your will. And Lord, we want to submit to it. We want to be those that learn how to submit and trust you for our provision, for our protection, and definitely for our salvation, Lord. We want to be those that are submissive people. Teach us. We confess with this world system and our flesh, we struggle. We sometimes get confused. But help us to know that there is one right chain of command. There is one right way. And we need to obey the scriptures. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right, take your animals to stand.